It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Co-host Veronica Rickard will be back with me on Monday. Coming up here on Central Time, New York Times food writer Mark Bittman joins us for Food Friday with some of his favorite recipes for great food cooked fast. First, the country saw protests from coast to coast this week after a St. Louis County prosecutor announced Monday that a grand jury decided not to indict police officer Darren Wilson. Wilson shot and killed unarmed black teenager Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri in August of this year. That shooting sparked protests in August that attracted national media attention, continued for months. After the decision was announced on Monday, protests broke out in Ferguson and communities in other U.S. cities followed suit. Here in Wisconsin, there were rallies on Tuesday in both Madison and Milwaukee. The focus of the demonstrations around the country has been the relationship between law enforcement and the black community. Wisconsin has the highest rate of black male incarceration in the country at 13%. That's about double the national average. We've got two organizers of protests here in Wisconsin joining us now. Brandi Grayson is in the studio. She's the founder of the Madtown Community Response Team. She organized a rally here in Madison. Brandi, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Lavelle Young is president of the Black Student Union at UW-Milwaukee. He organized a rally of students over there. Lavelle, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, how you doing, Rob?
And then also Michael Johnson, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, is with us. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for having me on.
So, Brandi, let's start with you. First of all, what was your initial reaction when you heard that grand jury decision earlier this week?
Well, we were not surprised. I think we all were expecting that decision that Officer Wilson would not be indicted. There's been a lot of questionable things happening in terms of the investigation of the murder of Mike Brown. So we lost faith in the justice system in Ferguson and their ability to be non-biased when it came to reviewing the evidence regarding the murder.
And now you organized a rally at the jail here in Madison through the Young, Black, and Gifted Coalition. What was the main message of the rally?
Well, our main objective was to stand in solidarity with Ferguson and to bring to light the fact that Ferguson and the murder of Mike Brown is just a microcosm of what is taking place across the nation in terms of the state violence that is happening towards black people, and the fact that as a country, as a society, we are watching it happen without really paying attention to it. We see it happening, and we see black men being murdered and incarcerated at ridiculous rates, but somehow we excuse it and we regurgitate the narratives that are fed to us by mainstream media without understanding the root of it. And the root of it is racism, institutionalized racism. And we don't like to talk about that. And no one wants to discuss what racism really looks like. Most of us believe that racism is a conscious hate, something that you are aware of, and that only those who consciously say, I hate black people, I hate people of color, are racist. But that's not true. Racism is a complex system of social and political levers and pulleys set up generations ago to benefit or working on the behalf of whites at other people's expenses. And I think it's important that we have that dialogue. It's an insidious cultural disease, and it's going to continue to spread like a virus until we dig up the roots of it, and we're honest about it. We breathe in racism the minute that we're born, and we are not all born with hate, but because of the way the systems are set up, it rears its ugly head anytime a white person interacts with a black person within that system, or even on an individual level. And it really doesn't care if you like black people, if your grandchildren are black and your best friend is black. It is what it is. And we have to scoop it out. And white people have to scoop it out every day by just being self-aware of what it really looks like and how it manifests itself. And it's not just manifested in hate. It's manifested in privilege. It's manifested in apathy. It's manifested in all sorts of ways, ignorance. It goes on and on. So I think Ferguson really, it's just a microcosm of what's happening in our nation. And we organized a rally to say we will not stand for it anymore. We will not accept status quo. We will continue to organize actions in Madison's around the mass incarceration of black people and black men specifically. And we will be out in the front line on a weekly basis.
I want to go to Milwaukee now with Lavelle Young, organized an event, a rally in Milwaukee. Lavelle, what was the message? Similar to what Brandy was saying here in Madison, were you targeting similar things in Milwaukee?
Yeah, basically. I mean, and to get things straight, like really quick, I wasn't maybe the lead organizer of it. There were multiple different student leaders at our campus that helped organize this event. And it's pretty much we share the same desire to get the message out, not only, like I said, to call to the national attention to it, but also to our campus and our campus faculty members and our campus students to let them know that Milwaukee, we're right here and we're facing the same issues that Mike Brown's family faced in over there in Ferguson. And so pretty much, yeah, that we want to share the same message that Brandy is expressing, that, you know, like the coming to Dontre Hamilton, who was slain by a police officer at Red Arrow Park downtown. We're still awaiting from our district attorney's office a verdict, or not a verdict, but if that officer is ever going to be charged. And so we're constantly marching and we're constantly sharing the same rhetoric that we continuously hear around the nation. And Milwaukee and Wisconsin is pretty much one of the main offenders of this system that incarcerates, as you stated earlier, a very high percentage, almost double the nation's average of African-American males.
Now, Michael Johnson with Boys and Girls Club of Dane County, you had encouraged rallies and demonstrations earlier this week. You specifically encouraged peaceful demonstrations, avoiding any kinds of violence. In Ferguson, we saw at least some portion of the protesters turning to violence. What do you want to see when it comes to demonstrations and rallies? What kind of messages do you want to hear? What kind of actions do you want to see?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to what we do across the country. I think our local elected officials and the people who are decision makers need to make sure that we invest in our young people. One of the reasons why I went down to Ferguson was, one, to make sure that Mike Brown's parents knew that that the state of Wisconsin, and particularly Dane County, that we were there to support them. And that's why we raised a significant amount of money to make sure that Michael Brown's siblings went to college, and then our community raised $20,000 to support the family as well. What I would like to see is, when you look at across large urban municipalities, young African-American males are not graduating from high school at the same rates of their white counterparts. So one of the things that we did in Madison through Boys and Girls Clubs and our partners is to start a program called Avid Tops that focus on reaching out to young students of color, first in their family to graduate from high school or to go to college, and we have had some significant success in that. The reality is, if you don't empower these young men, if you don't educate them, if you don't prepare them for either college or careers, they're going to be stuck in poverty. And there was a study that was done by UCLA. We know across this country, if you educate young men and women, there's a return on that investment. For every young man and woman that don't graduate from high school, you and I as taxpayers will pay $200,000 over that young person's lifetime, because they're going to become dependent on public resources. And for every school district that increase their graduation rates by 10%, you can reduce crime in your community by 10%. Now, I want to see issues around mass incarceration decrease. I want to see more money spent on educating our kids. When we live in a country and we spend $40,000 a year to incarcerate an adult, but we spend $5,000 a year to educate a child, there's something fundamentally wrong with that, and we have to change that. So these issues have been going on for decades. And I think what I get frustrated about, particularly in the community that I live in, there's a lot of people that want to help, but we have to go beyond the conversation. We have to get beyond the studies and actually invest in our young people and create targeted programs to make sure that they're thriving, and to make sure that we're not locking them up, and to make sure that we're supporting them so they can aspire to to do great things in this country.
Now, Brandy, one thing we've been talking about since August, really, and beyond, is the relationship between police on the one hand and minority communities on the other. How would you paint a picture of Madison and the Madison area when it comes to that relationship?
Well, I would say that it's a relationship that struggles because, again, we're locked up at the highest rate across the country. We outrate Ferguson. We outrate Mississippi. And that says a lot in terms of the relationships of the Madison Police Department as well in relations to communities of color. There is no relationship, really. I mean, out of all the police officers I've had encounter with, I have to say, and I've been here since I've the age of 10, and I am now 35 years of age. So I've been here 25 years, and I've only encountered maybe three police officers that dealt with me in a human or humane way, meaning that when they approached me, whether I was in the wrong, whether it was speeding or my back brake lights were out or my license plates were suspended for whatever reason, I only encountered three police that handled me in a humane way. And that says a lot because I've had many interactions with police officers, and I've been immediately just regarded as, I felt like I was being talked at. I felt like I was being dismissed, disregarded as a person in a lot of those encounters. And I've also experienced being pulled over without due reason and having a police make up the reason for pulling me over. For example, I had one incident when I was pulled over and they said, well, your license plates did not match your vehicle, which of course was a lie. And then his response was, oh, it must have been a glitch in the computer system, which of course was a lie. And then I've had encounters where I've been pulled over and said that I looked like or my vehicle matched the description of, and I had one encounter where police pulled me over with guns drawn right on Badger and Park Street. So that says a lot. And I am a single black woman, and I do not have a criminal record. I haven't broken the law in my life. So that just says a lot about how what approach the police department uses. And we have to figure out a better way, you know, and a lot of times, again, it's that word that we hate to use. And it's the word that we hate to be, to uproot. And that's racism. It's in the training, it's in the policy, it's in the system. It's intertwined in the system. We have a history of, the Justice Department being directly involved in the oppression of people of color. That is something that's been passed on from generations to generations. And it affects everyone. It's like a virus. So even if a police officer said, I'm not racist, I have this, I'm a good person, I uplift everyone, we have to really look at the system that we're involved in. Even teachers, I mean, our education system is set up not to educate our children because there is a understanding and a stereotype that our children are inferior by nature, that we are innately DNA genetically coded to be not as smart as our counterparts, which is a lie. But what ends up happening in those classroom settings is our children feel the disengagement of their children. They feel the low expectations, and their response is, then what is my point? Why do I put forth the effort? And they start to feel less than. They start to feel hopeless. And that's the same thing that happens when our police officers interact with people of color. And most people don't even believe that cultural diversity training is necessary. And even if there is cultural diversity training in Madison, I believe they're only required between 2 and 5 hours a year. And what is that? And what does that mean? And what does that look like? Checking the box that's saying that I understand what a black person looks like. Does it really talk about and really get to the root of what is causing the profiling? What is causing the negative interactions between a police officer and a black person? We don't want to talk about it. And then we have a lot of leaders and a lot of people in charge that have titles and positions that don't want to talk about it either, because their title and their position is intertwined with the funding of their university. Or, I mean, not the university, of their organization or other programs. And my coalition and my organization and the people that I work with, we're tired of it because it just leads to more conversations and more conversations and non-actions. We need actions. We need change. The Madison Police Department needs to be held accountable. Sheriff Mahoney needs to be held accountable. Our chief of police needs to be held accountable. There are changes that must happen immediately. We cannot wait 5 years or 10 years for studies to come out to say that, oh, yeah, this is true. We know it's true. We know there's a problem. Let's address it.
We're talking about Wisconsin's response to the announcement Monday that a grand jury in Ferguson, Missouri, decided not to indict police officer Darren Wilson. We have Brandy Grayson and Lavelle Young, both involved with rallies in Madison and Milwaukee, respectively, this week. Also, Michael Johnson on the line, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County. You can join in at 800-642-1234 or post in the Central Time Facebook page. Are the concerns in Ferguson also concerns in Wisconsin? This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our panel discussion about Wisconsin's response to the announcement Monday that a grand jury in Ferguson, Missouri, ruled not to indict police officer Darren Wilson. We have Brandy Grayson with us, founder of the Madtown Community Response Team, Lavelle Young, president of the UW-Milwaukee Black Student Union. They're involved in organizing rallies in Madison, Milwaukee. Also, Michael Johnson is with us, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Let's go right to a caller. We've got Jovan in Milwaukee. Jovan, am I saying that right?
Yes, that's correct.
What you want to bring up, Jovan?
My question is geared towards Brandy, actually all three. I wanted to know, what is the importance of being a black person and actually building a black culture? Because Raven recently was on TV, Raven Simone. I don't know if you guys seen that. And I think that's a big conversation going on as well, about us actually assimilating into just being American and not actually acknowledging our African roots. I want to know, what is the importance of African culture and why is it even needed?
Jovan, thanks. Great question. Lavelle, let's bring you in on that first. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's important to recognize that, you know, we're all here in America and that we all came from diverse backgrounds. America is the melting pot. America is a nation of immigrants. And so we need to understand that we all come from diverse backgrounds. And we all are here as Americans. And what unites us is that we're citizens. And what should unite us is that we all have equal rights as a citizen and shouldn't be treated differently because of our culture, our background, our heritage, and things like that. The reason why it's important for us as African Americans to embrace our heritage and not just denounce it and just call ourselves Americans is because I believe that's what the system wants. That's what the system has been designed to do. You know, to kind of piggyback off what Mr. Johnson said about like, you know, students and they need to graduate from high school and you know, get into college and we need to spend more money on our education system versus our prison system. Like, that's completely understandable. And if you look at the data, like, you know, it's very disproportionate. But we also need to refocus on the fact that, like, you know, it's the intertwined racism that, you know, Brandy is talking about that is ingrained in our system and in our American culture. So, you know, because I'm African-American male, I'm gonna make sure I embrace my heritage and I want the rest of the nation and the rest of the world to also embrace it and not look at it as a threat to this nation, not look at it as a difference, and I'm supposed to just denounce it, you know. And that's what I feel as Raven did it necessarily in that interview. And I think that's something that anybody from any background, whether they're Indian, whether they're Caucasian American, like, you should embrace your heritage and your ancestry and things like that. And you should hold on deep into it. And you shouldn't want to denounce it because society feels threatened by your heritage.
Jovan, thanks a lot for the call. I'm sure you've all got answers to that. We've only got a few minutes left. And Michael, I wanted to throw something at you with our guests here today, with the rallies you're seeing. Do you see a new generation of organizers, of people getting involved in issues like this, maybe sparked in part by what happened in Ferguson?
Yeah, I think it's, I met with Brandy and her group, but also met with groups like the NAACP and the Urban League and United Way and other groups who have responded. I think it's important that we hear from our emerging leadership in communities all across the country, but I also think it's important that these various groups meet and figure out a way to organize, because we have to get past the rallies, we have to get past the protests, and we need a systemic plan for how we make sure that we take care of communities that are struggling, particularly the African-American and also the Latino community. And so these issues, again, has been going on all over the country for years. And where we always fell short is we have to figure out a way to influence policy, We have to figure out a way to make sure that we get resources to those communities who are struggling. And I welcome young people who are out there protesting. My only message to them, and I think Brandy and her team did a great job, you know, last week, is Mike Brown family asked that we protest, but we not use acts of violence to communicate our concerns. And I think when people start looting, when people start setting things on fire, when people start using derogatory terms, it takes away from the message. And at the end of the day, I think we have to figure that piece out as a community. To address the question from your caller, I think we I'm African-American, and I am proud to be an African-American who grew up in some of the toughest public housing developments on the west side of Chicago. I stayed in a public housing development called the Avalon Homes and also Cabrini Green. I'm proud that I grew up in those neighborhoods, and I understand my history. I understand what our people are going through, and we have to make sure that our young kids understand who they come from and where we're trying to go.
All right, I've got to jump in. Time has flown. Thanks to everyone who joined us for this conversation. Much more we could have gotten into. Full phone lines. Apologies to the callers on hold. I think we'll pick up these issues again over the next week, month, year, probably. We've been speaking with Brandy Grayson, founder of the Madtown Community Response Team, Lavelle Young, president of the UW-Milwaukee Black Student Union, also Michael Johnson, CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Dane County. You can continue the conversation at the Central Time Facebook page. Stick around, more to come, including Food Friday here on Central Time.